The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on September 13, 1995 in Zurich, Switzerland. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, Chapter 8, Verse 21.
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya,
Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya,
Krishnaya
Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Devaki Nandanaya cha,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya,
Nanda Gopa Kumaraya,
Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Govindaya Namo Namaha, Krishnaya Vasudevaya, Devaki Nandanaya cha, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, Govindaya Namo Namaha,
Krishnaya Vasudevaya, Devaki Nandanaya cha, Nanda Gopa Kumaraya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and the other cowherd men of Vrindavana, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Let me therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto the Lord, who has become the son of Vasudeva, the pleasure of Devaki, the boy of Nanda, and their other cowherd men of Vrindavana, and the enlivener of the cows and the senses. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord, being thus unapproachable by any material assets, out of unbounded and causeless mercy, descends on the earth, as He is, in order to show His special mercy upon His unalloyed devotees and to diminish the upsurges of the demoniac persons. Queen Kunti specifically adores the incarnation or descent of Lord Krishna above all other incarnations, because in this particular incarnation He is more approachable. In the Rama incarnation, He remained a king's son from his very childhood. But in the incarnation of Krishna, although he was the son of a king, he at once left the shelter of his real father and mother, King Vasudeva and Devaki, Queen Devaki, just after his appearance, and went to the lap of Yasoda Mayi to play the part of an ordinary cowherd boy in the blessed Vrajabhumi, which is very sanctified because of his childhood pastimes. Therefore, Lord Krishna is more merciful than Lord Rama. He was undoubtedly very kind to Kunti's brother Vasudeva and the family. Had he not become the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, Queen Kunti could not claim him to be her nephew, and thus address Krishna in parental affection. But Nanda and Yasoda are more fortunate because they could relish the Lord's childhood pastimes, which are more attractive than all other pastimes. There is no parallel to his childhood pastimes as exhibited at Vrajabhumi, which are the prototypes of his eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka, described as the Chintamani Dham in the Brahma Samhita. Lord Shri Krishna descended himself at Brajabhumi with all his transcendental entourage and paraphernalia. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore confirmed that no one is as fortunate as the residents of Brajabhumi, and specifically the cowherd boys who dedicated their everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. His pastimes with Nanda and Yasoda, and his pastimes with the cowherd men, and especially with the cowherd boys and the cows, have caused him to be known as Govinda. Lord Krishna as Govinda is more inclined to the brahmanas and the cows, indicating thereby that human prosperity depends more on these two items, namely brahminical culture and cow protection. Lord Krishna is never satisfied where these are lacking. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation and purport to text 21, chapter 8, canto 1. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport. Srimad Bhagavatam 1821. Spoken in this 509th year of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And the Srimad Bhagavatam in the matter of the prayers of Queen Kunti. Kunti Devi has written such beautiful poetry. Not written, but spoken spontaneously. Beautiful verses. Prabhupada explains why she mentions both Vasudeva and Devaki, because she is a sister of Vasudev, and in this way she can endear Krishna due to her family relationship or a parental affection as an aunt. At the same time, she is glorifying Krishna as the cowherd boy of Vrindavan, but at the same time she is also offering him obeisances, namo namaha, because she knows that although he has appeared, externally, he's appeared as her nephew, he's none other than the Supreme Lord. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And these are all his pastimes. Krishna relates with his different devotees according to how they approach him. He's expert, the most expert, and he performs everything most appropriately. So he's a perfect nephew, brother, son, friend, lover, husband, master. In every relationship, he's the ideal, perfect. He doesn't have any personal incompleteness, but he doesn't actually need the worship which the devotees give him because he's lacking in something. He's Atmarama. He's self-satisfied, always complete. Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnam Udachate. At the same time, he acts as if he's dependent on his devotees, and he relates in that manner. It's like he's so kind that he comes as a deity form, and he acts as if he's dependent upon the service of his devotees, allowing us to cook, bathe, cook for, bathe, dress, worship, glorify, take care of the Lord. This is a kind of a dress rehearsal for serving the Lord in the spiritual world. Performing intimate services for the Lord in the spiritual world has its significance if the devotee has developed love for Krishna. Then all these services and all this association is most pleasing to the heart of the devotee, overwhelms the heart of the devotee in transcendental bliss. Jai Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki, Jai Sisi Gaurnitai Ki. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he always wanted to go to Vrindavan. He loved Vrindavan. He loved the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. When he went to perform pindi at Gaya for his father. His father had deceased while he was still a teenager, and so he went over to perform these final rites. There's a ceremony that a son or daughter can perform for their deceased parents, forefathers, sending them prasadam. They offer prasadam to Vishnu, and then through mantras it's sent to their forefathers. It's like if you know that somebody's in the hospital, then you send, I know in the West you can send flowers just by phoning up. You can send different things. Even they have telegrams that they'll go and sing, right? Singing telegram. Happy birthday to you, or whatever they say. Please get well. In the future, they'll have Hare Krishna telegrams, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But, of course, these are all expressing their sentiment, and the sentiment goes to the people. But practically, how much can anyone do when someone is sick? But that encouragement is definitely appreciated by people. It endears them, gives them a purpose in life, reason to live, and so on. But this is something real. A person leaves their body and then they go to, who knows where they go? Who can say? Maybe they go to a good place, or maybe they're in a hellish place. But if somebody sends them a packet of Krishna prasada, or the benefit of taking the Krishna prasad, that is definitely going to help them. Even if they're in the heavenly planets, it can extend their stay. If they're in the hellish planets, it can get them out. So the word in Hindi and Bengali for, and Sanskrit for a son is putra. Pu means hell. And tra means to deliver, like mantra, putra. The person who can deliver one from hell is a putra, and daughter who can deliver one from hell is a putri. Right? We have that Indian manager here. Is she here? No. She's doing some service somewhere. So, to be a good son or daughter means we should try to liberate our parents. And that can be done while we're alive. And preaching to them, sending them prasadam and things, and by being Krishna conscious. If we are Krishna conscious, 14 generations, parents, grandparents, and children, grandchildren, so on, they can be delivered. I heard recently that even goes into previous births, although I haven't seen that explicitly written, but someone explains that it's there somewhere in the Shastra. So it's a very great welfare that someone can do, a child can do for their forefathers if they become Krishna conscious. So Lord Chaitanya, being a best son, he went to perform this ceremony for his father. And one of the most sacred places to do that is at Gaya, where there was a demon called Gayasur who was defeated by Vishnu. And Vishnu put his lotus feet on his chest. And the footprints and the demon became petrified, stonified. And the footprints of Vishnu are still there since so many yugas. There was some kind of a deal that the demon would surrender. He would stop fighting or stop creating whatever disturbance, if the Lord would put his feet on his chest and he would be worshipped there. And he said, as long as every day someone worships these lotus footprints, then I'll remain lying down. He's a gigantic demon, so it's on the top of a mountain, kind of a long mountain, like the shape of a human. The demon lying down, a little oblong. And on the top there's the temple, and then you see that there's this footprint of the Lord. But if any one day nobody comes, the whole day, to worship those feet, those lotus feet, then the demon is free from his bondage and he can get up and cause havoc again. And so far, there's many people go every day. We don't know what happens later in Kali Yuga. He may come up. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya, he went there. On the way, he stopped at a place called Kanainachala, where there's the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. How many of you have been to Kanainachala? This is a very beautiful temple. It's at the border of Gauramandala Bhumi. It used to be in the state of Bengal until 47 years ago, when Bengal traded it off to Bihar state for in exchange for another district from Bihar. But at the time of Lord Chaitanya, it was part of Bengal. In fact, at one point it was the capital of Bengal, known as Raj Mahal. It's 4 kilometers from Kanainachala. But from time immemorial, this Kanainachala was a sacred holy place. There was a hill there by the side of the Ganges. And on the hill, Lord Krishna, he has pastimes. And when Lord Chaitanya went there, he could see Radha and Krishna came and embraced him. And he was overwhelmed in ecstasy. And there's lotus feet of Lord of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna there. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he established the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya there because he visited that holy place 3 times. To Gaya, coming back from Gaya, and once on the way to Vrindavan, which he went up to there and came back. It's only 30 kilometers from the place of Ramakeli, where Rupa and Sanatan lived, and where Anupam lived, and it's reported that Jiva Goswami was probably born there. So by Krishna's mercy, this Kanainachala temple has been given over to ISKCON. Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. And there's about 30 or 40 hectares of land, and the whole hill, which is right on the side of the Ganges. The hill goes right into the Ganges. The Ganges comes right up to the hill. And all around, the Ganges at that point is about 6 to 8 kilometers wide, because there's a dam about 20 kilometers down, so that becomes really wide there. And no much current, blue and very deep. I don't know how deep, more than 10 meters deep. Maybe 20, I don't know how deep, it's so deep. Of course, right by the side of the hill, there's the rocks going, so devotees can dive in. Or by the side, and there's some beaches with sand that you can go in. So this is a place now devotees can go for japas and bathings. It's a beautiful place, and you're on top of the hill. Only 3 sides is all Ganges. It's a very peaceful place on the hill where Lord Chaitanya was there. One of the unique places of Gauramandala Bhumi. That's been worshipped by some very renounced Vaishnavas who just live in a kopin and are doing their worship there, but the guru of that place, he didn't have faith that his disciples could manage it. And he had some, I don't know how he heard about ISKCON, He says that Krishna revealed this in his heart that he should give it to us. So he came and searched us out. We never searched him out. He searched us out and he asked us if we would take over that place. He's very old now, 90 plus. So just 6 months ago, after Gaur Purnima, that was signed over. Of course, the property belongs to the deity, but we are the official managers and trustees for the deity. So Lord Chaitanya went to that holy place, and he went to Patna, and he went to many holy places, and he finally got to Gaya. When he got to Gaya, then he met Ishwar Puri Maharaj. And Ishwar Puri was well known to his father and had gone and stayed at the house of Jagannath Mishra. Sometimes when Nimai was a small child, he remembered and he saw Ishwar Puri, and he decided now that his father had left the world a year ago, he had come to perform this rites. It was time for him to surrender to Krishna and take up Krishna consciousness fully. So he begged Ishwar Puri to accept him as a disciple and give him initiation. So without a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot go back to Krishna. One cannot achieve Krishna, serve Krishna properly. So he said, please give me the holy names. And he begged Ishwar Puri that I'll never get over this ocean of birth and death unless I have your shelter. So Ishwar Puri initiated him in Gaya. And Lord Chaitanya began to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then he was, went chanting over to the temple of Vishnupad, the lotus feet of Vishnu, where he, engage the priests to perform this worship. And the system is you offer prasadam, bhoga, to Vishnu's lotus feet, and then you give the name of your gotra. The gotra is the family tradition that is followed by the Hindus, by the Vedic followers, that originally different Brahmanas and different families, they came from different Prajapatis. And they know, it's amazing that, you know, Prajapatis mean when they gave the, you know, the Praja, the children, was some millions of years ago. Yet since that time, from father to son, in India, people have handed down that this is the tradition we're in. I mean, the one thing when they're born, they're told, you're from Kasyapa Muni Gotra, or Bharadraj Muni Gotra, or such and such Rishi, such and such Prajapati. Nowhere is it written. It's been handed down like that. So when they're born, they know that I'm in this Gotra. So they mention that what is their Gotra, and what is the name of their father, for whom they're doing the puja. So they mention such and such gotra and the name, and then they do the mantras, and it goes automatically by spiritual way. It is sent to their account. Here, I mean, this is well known in Switzerland about accounts, right? This is especially Zurich is the banking capital. Everyone knows they has these secret accounts. You can use just the number account. If you put the wrong number, then nothing is there when you look, right? And if you lose your number, then goodbye. I saw a cartoon once, a man was like a bum on the street with a can, and he had a sign, and he said, I lost my Swiss bank account number. Forgot. So now he's begging. So in this material world, everything's a perverted reflection, right? Of the, there's also a spiritual bank account. And so you can send that message, that gifts to the spiritual bank account. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya was doing all these things, but actually he was really interested in seeing the lotus feet of Vishnu. So beautiful, all the markings, the conch shell marking and the elephant goat and the lightning and the lotus flower and the different markings that are there. He was amazed that when he seeing the lotus feet of Vishnu, he didn't feel so much love. Even when they offered the bhoga. But then they had him do an abhishek, and he was pouring milk and yogurt and honey and different panchamritas. And when he was doing the abhishek, suddenly his heart filled with love for Krishna. And he became overwhelmed in love of Krishna. And he started to chant and dance. Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare! Hare Rama! Hare Rama! Rama Rama! Hare Hare! And he was chanting and dancing in ecstasy. And all the priests had never seen anyone jumping and chanting, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they're all watching, you know, what's going on? Watching them jumping and dancing, and he's feeling so much separation. Then he sees everyone's looking at him, and he says, and he finishes the worship, but then again he starts to chant. When the worship's over, he chants, he runs out from the temple. Vrindavan Bihari Lal Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki! And he was just chanting, Vrindavan Bihari Lal, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, Nanda Kumara, you know, the Nanda Gopa Kumara and different things, and he's running off to Vrindavan. He said, I'm going to Vrindavan now to seek the land of Krishna, to seek Krishna in Vrindavan. And he runs off towards Vrindavan. Then there's a Akash Bani and a voice from the air. Don't go to Vrindavan now. Now is not the time to go to Vrindavan. Now is the time to go back to Navadvip with Mother Sachi and start the Sankirtan movement. You must go to Vrindavan later. So then, Lord Chaitanya is already running off to Vrindavan, right? Where would have been the Sankirtan movement? He had the external purpose of his pastime, which is to start the Sankirtan movement, the internal, which was to relish his own Vrindavan pastimes. But we can see how much Lord Chaitanya was attracted to his Vrindavan pastimes. He wanted to go right away, didn't want to wait. Just like Kunti Devi here, she's respecting Krishna in one sense as her nephew, but then she's appreciating his Vrindavan pastimes. Well, Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to go directly. But when he got the message from the sky, reminding him that he had to perform the Sankirtan Yajna, he went back. Like that, many devotees, they may be inclined to go right to Vrindavan and simply stay in the holy dham, or simply to be absorbed in the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. But just like Lord Chaitanya, he also was inclined like that. But we had to follow in his footsteps. He went back and he did Sankirtan. He went back and he performed the Sankirtan Yajna. And if he hadn't done that, then where would we have been, right? We get the mercy because of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan sacrifice, which is spreading the message. So although there may be many devotees who are very eager to go deeper and deeper into the pastimes of Krishna, But we had to also be merciful on all the other conditioned souls. They say there's 5 billion human beings on this planet. I have not counted myself, but I take, you know, their word for it, that there's something like that. But of these 5 million, how many have taken up Krishna consciousness so far? How many have been able to taste the nectar about Krishna consciousness, about Krishna bhakti? And how many are still suffering under the influence of the time, the gunas, and the karmas? Obviously, the vast, vast majority of people have not been able to get this mercy yet. And just like Lord Chaitanya, he went back and he delayed his going to Vrindavan for maybe 10 years. At least 10 years or more. 10 or 15 years. Of course, going to Vrindavan was a very major thing at that time. You had to walk 1500 kilometers and there were no proper roads and it wasn't safe. It was a medieval kind of situation. Many different kings and bandits. And so going to Vrindavan meant a major journey, which might take almost a year. And devotees didn't know when Lord Chaitanya would come back. So he postponed his journey to do the Sankirtan Yajna. But he was always thinking about Vrindavan. In Nectar of Devotion, it explains that one of the six, while living in the Mathura, is one of the regulative principles that were recommended. And in the Ishipud, it's also one of the five most important practices of devotional service. But in the explanation, it's described that we can live, we should be identify ourselves as a resident of the Holy Dham. We are residents of the Holy Dham, but we are serving in different parts of the world. It's like we're citizens of the Dham, but we're residents in different countries. We actually belong in the spiritual world with Krishna, and the Holy Dham is like the embassy in this world of that spiritual world. It's the representation, the extension. The same pastimes that Krishna performs in the spiritual world, some of them are presented here in the material world, in the Holy Dham. Prabhupada describes it as prototypes of his eternal affairs in the original Krishna Loka, described as the Chintamani Dham and the Brahma Samhita. Of course, when you go to the Dham, now it's Kali Yuga and the Rajasthan desert has entered into Vrindavan, influence of the desert, so that all the gardens and the beautiful trees and things that were there before are not so clearly, so lusciously visible now as they were 5,000 years ago. Bengal is still, and Navadvip Dham is still very luscious. And Lord Chaitanya's Dham, which is a Gupta Vrindavan, a hidden Vrindavan, not different from Vrindavan, one can still experience that gardens to some extent and the beautiful arrangements. But with our skin eyes, these eyes are skin eyes, right? We can only see certain things. With these eyes, we're not able to see the spiritual reality. We don't see Krishna's Satchidananda Rupa. We don't see the Satchidananda form of the Holy Dham. So Lord is very kind. He appears before us as the deity form, which we can see and we can serve. And sometimes the Lord comes in a visible form in the world, where everyone can see Him with their skin eyes, with their flesh eyes. Although they may not see Him in the same way as a liberated soul can see Him, they're seeing some kind of reflection, some presentation of the Lord. But when they achieve that full liberation, they can see the Lord even in a more complete and spiritually, they can see the Lord in with a spiritual eyes. The spiritual senses have got more ability to see Krishna. That's what the senses are for, seeing Krishna, seeing the transcendental energy. This material eyes is for seeing material energy. So the Lord, He comes down in order to attract us back to His original pastimes. Why are we just staying here in a material world rotting? It's because we want to be here. We don't know better. We don't know there's anything better. And we think this is what life is supposed to be, and we're just caught up in it. So how we can get out if we don't desire to leave? And how we'll desire to leave if we don't know that there's some place better? So the easiest way of, and how will we be able to go to Krishna if we're not attracted to Krishna and His devotees? So Krishna manifests His pastimes in this world so that we can be attracted to Him, and we can reestablish our forgotten relationship and go back to Him. But like that, people who are in Maya, when they hear about Krishna, they are not feeling attraction. But when they go on chanting Hare Krishna and they get the mercy of Krishna, then they are able to experience what is the sweet nectar in serving Krishna. So that's Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. There are people who are completely, hopelessly fallen in illusion. They're always identifying with their body. They're influenced by the modes of ignorance and passion. They are attracted to material sense gratification. Their mind is uncontrolled and always going to places it shouldn't go and thinking things which are not auspicious or beneficial or appropriate. So in this kind of condition, what is the hope in Kali Yuga for such persons? So Lord Chaitanya has come to give them hope, to give them His mercy, to give them a process which is so powerful that if they just try to follow that process of chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then they can, in spite of so many problems and obstacles, they can achieve Krishna. They can get over these obstacles. So Prabhupada was so merciful. He was in Vrindavan. He was a Vrajabasi for so many years in the holy temple of Rupa Goswami, Damodar Samadhi, Radha Damodar temple. But he left Vrindavan and came to the hellish west. Came here to Switzerland, isn't it? Came to so many different countries all over the world. And brought with him Vrindavan. He could have stayed in Vrindavan and relished all these pastimes of Krishna and served Krishna, and he could have went back to Godhead without much difficulty. But he was so merciful that he took all the troubles to come and bring us Krishna consciousness. Following in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, carrying the orders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on his head. So Srila Prabhupada was so advanced he could relish Vrindavan. But he also left and preached. But for those who are not so fortunate to really be able to concentrate and relish Vrindavan, then for them what other hope is there but to preach Krishna consciousness? Even for those who can relish, they preach. And for those who can't relish, they need to serve and help in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement so that they can get freed from their anarthas and offenses and be able to appreciate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Pastimes of Krishna and Yasoda, the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan. So the more we engage in the Sankirtan movement and avoid offenses to the Vaishnavas and avoid the weeds of the devotional creeper and offenses to the holy name, then our taste for Krishna consciousness should increase. And the more our taste for Krishna consciousness increases, the more that our attraction for Maya will decrease. If our attraction for Krishna is not increasing, then there's something wrong. That means that some of our energy is going to the weeds. Or that we're committing offenses. Or that we're not following properly. We're not chanting offenselessly. So we have to be good gardeners and take care of our devotional creeper and water it properly. And when we're careless, then Maya enters in. The Kunti Devi is a very unique personality, as we mentioned yesterday. She had this ability to call devas. She was given a blessing by some rishi that she could call anyone she wanted with a particular mantra. Right, so she used the mantra and called the sun god. The sun god appeared. But she didn't realize that when you call one of the devas, that they had some other idea. And they wanted to have a relation with her. And because she was so advanced a person, she was also just like a heavenly being, although she was a human. But she says, I'm not married. How can I have any relation? Or how can this be allowed? And so, well, you call me, and anyway, I will not disturb your virginity. But so she bore, and the first child was Karna. But because he was born out of wedlock, she didn't know what to do, so she put him in a floating also in the river. And that's a big drama in the Mahabharata because Karna was favored by Duryodhan. And Kunti didn't own up to Karna's position until very late in the whole pastimes in the final Kurukshetra war. Anyway, what is interesting is how human beings have descended. In this case, directly they were descending from different residents of higher planets. And how originally the humans can trace back, I mean, at least in India, they know that I came from this rishi. But those rishis are not necessarily residents of this planet. They're residing in other planets. that human beings were actually brought here to this area through Manu. As mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Ikshvaku was the first human king. The Manu doesn't also live on this planet, but he's from another higher planet. We don't actually, that's why in the evolutionists, you know, there might be some kind of aborigines or something here. But actually the civilized humans don't even come from this planet. So they may or not find them here, their bones or whatever, at a certain point. We don't come from here. Which is something some people think about, but it's actually recorded in the Vedic history. Originally we all come from Brahma, and different creatures also don't, they're all planted here in different planets, and different ecosystems are created in different planets for different species of life. And there are other creatures who fit within the category of humans, which means they have the ability. Human basically means you can understand God. Those who are not humans, who cannot understand God, they're in the category of animals and birds and so on. So the special feature of being a human being is we can understand Krishna. We can understand God. But in a modern society, people are acting just like polished animals. In the sense that they're not trying to understand God. And they're absorbed in their senses, and they're suffering so many karmas. So the Vedic rituals are meant to gradually bring people to God consciousness. So at least even in a mundane society, children would have some attachment for their parents. In the past it was like that, maybe now it's not so much, but it was like that, so the children would do these ceremonies for their forefathers. At least once in their life they had to go and worship Vishnu. Whenever they take the body to be burnt in India, you always hear them chanting, Hari Bol, Bolo Hari, Hari Bol, Bolo Hari, Hari Bol. When you hear this kind of, you know, Bolo Hari, Hari Bol, Bolo Hari, you know they're taking a dead body. They don't say Bolo Shiva or Bolo Durga, no, they say Bolo Hari, Hari Bol, and they go with the body. Because they know that at the end of life, only Hari, only Vishnu can protect you. And they want to be also protected. They're carrying a dead body. They don't want all the spooks and everything to get them that hang around dead bodies, so they're chanting. In some parts of India, they say Ram Naam Sattahai, Ram Naam Sattahai. In some parts they say Bolo Hari. But they always say the names of Vishnu. So we need to remember Krishna, but why wait till the very end of life? Kunti Devi, she's offering prayers to Krishna face to face. She's so great. She's so elevated a personality. We should understand our actual heritage is also to become elevated. We have fallen from the grace. We have fallen into the pit. Now we have a civilized society. People, at least superficially, are civilized. People are well behaved, superficially, and cleanliness and truthfulness are virtues that people still accept. People appreciate. They don't appreciate austerity so much, but they expect it in their athletes and in their politicians to some degree. And mercy is being appreciated more and more now. The people need, however, to really go beyond just the religious principles, which are pillars that bring us closer to God and actually understand God realization. And that is what these verses are telling us about Krishna. Krishna is a person. He appeared in this world. He has different pastimes. And if we relate with Krishna as a person, then he brings that. We get attached to him. He'll bring us to him. But how will the people know that? Now, we can't even go up to people and just tell them, you know, Krishna is a person or something. They won't even know what you're talking about. Right? You have to take them through so many different levels, depending on what their material consciousness is at, to finally bring them just to the point that Kunti Devi is already here, appreciating Krishna face to face and his pastimes. You may have to tell people karmas and UFOs or this or that. There's so many things to get them to start to think that there's something more than what is touching their fingertips and their tongue and their eyes and so on. And get them to understand that there's a higher reality. And that we have a higher purpose to our life, more than just eating and sleeping and producing some byproducts and then getting old and dying. And somehow trying to keep the body, this bag of skin and bones, alive for a few years longer. People are so much trying to live for a few years longer that even some people now are becoming vegetarian because of health reasons. But they don't realize that they can live forever spiritually if they could just elevate their consciousness. So that's where all of you devotees and all of you who are practicing Krishna consciousness have got this special mercy of Lord Chaitanya to be Krishna conscious and to achieve this. And at the same time, Lord Chaitanya also ordered that everyone should give it to others. So we fulfill these orders of Lord Chaitanya, then we can be very successful. We can be totally successful in our lives. So, you know, but people always, they want a shortcut. You know, it's like trying to eat gur from your elbow. You know that example. You know that example, right? You don't regularly eat gur from your elbow? You're not eating off of your elbow? Sometimes. There was once a poor man in India, and he had no money, but he wanted to eat some gur. Gur is a type of molasses which has still got a lot of sugar in it. It's very sweet molasses. It's kind of the raw, cooked down sugarcane juice. You had gur? You have here? They gave me some gur yesterday with sesame. Beautiful, sweet. Thank you, whoever made that. Very nice. And so this poor man, he went up to the shopkeeper and said, "Can I have some of the gur?" He said, "Sure. That'll be, 1 rupee. "No, but I don't have any money." "You want gur? Give me money." "No money, no gur." Right, this is in the material world, usually, you know, you don't get too many handouts. Sometime you can get, sometime not. But the rule is, they say in Bengali also, "Fellow kuri, mako tel." Put your money, take your, then you can rub your oil. Means you can put your money and buy your thing. So he was desperate. "I have to get some gur. Somehow I have no money. What to do? I really want to taste some gur." So they saw one shop had a big barrel of gur filled up to the top, kind of liquid gur. You can get two kinds in India. You can get the hard kind and you get the kind of liquidy kind. So he made a plan. "I'll just go over and I'll lean in the barrel as if thinking that it was some solid thing, and then I'll get the gur on my elbow and I'll go and eat it." So he went over and look at this. Oh, what a mess. Oh, it's all gur on my elbow here. Oh, sorry. Why you put a sign or something? How is anybody supposed to know? It looked just like a solid thing, you know? Then he went off into the forest Now I have my gore, you know. In the meantime, most of it had fallen off, but a little bit was. So then he's trying, you know. He couldn't get there. All the gore was there, but he's trying. He couldn't get the elbow gore. But I don't know. I think you are more dexterous. Maybe some of you can get from the elbow. He's trying. So you understand that story? What is the inner meaning? Funny little stories, right? Each of them have got deep meanings. That we try to go about things in the wrong way and speculate, you know, what the guy could have done is maybe said, look, I really want some work. I'll clean your shop for you. I'll do some work for you. I'll do something for you. Then give me a little gore, right? So he could have somehow done something and got the gore. Instead, he decided, I'll just steal it. But I'll make it, do it in a deceitful way. I won't make it look like I'm stealing, because then I'll get arrested. I'll just do this joking way. But in the end, he just got a sticky elbow. He couldn't eat or enjoy the gore. So it's like that. There's a way, if you want to get Krishna, you can get him. You have to pay the price. The price is not so much. By Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you just have to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Read the Srimad Bhagavatam. Be Krishna conscious. Eat Krishna prasadam. Right? These are not so difficult to do. Of course, and then give out this mercy as best you can to others. We need to reestablish this brahminical consciousness, brahminical culture in the world, respecting simple living and high thinking. Now people appreciate, they think it's a complicated living, right, and passionate thinking, I don't know what. These are things being glorified, or even just not simple thinking. And they're missing the whole point. They're missing on the purpose of life. And they're wasting their valuable human lives. So Prabhupada, he could see that. He said, the world is on fire. Now, people, when they are in the material world, they really suffer. I mean, they enjoy for a while, but then the enjoyment leads to suffering. It's just like two sides of the coin. Right? Someone has a, just like nowadays, so much divorce is there, people get married and then they want to be happy, but then they divorce and then they really fried and they frustrated. And so, if people do things for the wrong reasons, then it forces them to suffer. If we do things for Krishna conscious reasons and we're careful about it, we can avoid suffering. Although in this material world there's always some sufferings, no matter what you do. But then again, we can be fully Krishna conscious and we can avoid that. Because our consciousness will be above it. Kunti Devi, she had problems. But Krishna always came and saved them. So even the problems were helpful for them to get more mercy from Krishna. Kunti was a widow. She had no one to help her in caring for her five children. Her three children and two of her husband's children from another wife. And she was bringing all of them up. So it was a very big responsibility. So in this way, because she was totally helpless, then Krishna always gave her mercy. So like this, if we become totally helpless in Krishna, depending on Krishna's mercy always, and we can get his mercy. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any question? Yes, Mataji? That's just the weakness of the mind, that we think that we cannot change or we cannot deal with these anarthas. It's like an excuse. We take the easy way out and we want to steal the gur. Listen, if we find ourselves in that situation, then we should, that's why we have a guru. That's why we have take shelter of a bona fide guru. And we have to take the medicine from him. We say, this is the weakness or this is the maya that I'm facing. And then have him help us and how we can deal with that. But we have to always endeavor. Right? If we think that, well, I'm too much attached, so no use in trying. Then actually maya will take over. That's just our desire to surrender to maya, but rather we should think, okay, I have attachments, how to get over them. And we have to be prepared to do some austerities, especially the more that we allow the weeds to grow, the harder, the more painful it is when you pull them out, because they're growing in our hearts. So, you know, pulling things out of the heart causes a bit of pain, like you're pulling a tooth. Even the tooth is rotten, but still you don't like to pull teeth, because it's there in the jaw. So what to speak is something growing in the heart. If you can wither up the weeds by not watering them, you don't have to water weeds. You can just give drip irrigation right to the bhakti lota and not give to the weeds. Then the weeds will dry up. But Lord Chaitanya also said we had to pull out the weed. That means you had to recognize that this is killing me, this is harming me, that it's illusion that I'm thinking that this will make me happy. We think, I cannot change, I want this. Why? Because we are in illusion. We think this will make me happy. But if we had the intelligence, we would understand this will not make me happy, therefore why am I attached to it? So then because we are in illusion, if we don't pull out the weed, then what happens? The weed grows until the weed takes over, and then the weed causes us so much suffering that then we become totally frustrated, and then in that state we pull out the weed. But meanwhile we left so much devotional service and we had to suffer so much, and then finally the conclusion is that this is causing me suffering and we get rid of it and then we come back. So why go through all that when it's small you can still pull it out? It's only going to get bigger. The more you delay, the bigger it is. Unless you want to go the weed takes over and then we don't know how many lives it takes to come back. So we shouldn't fall into this maya where we think, well, actually I'm not really Krishna conscious and I'm really in maya. These are all just maya is talking in our ear, Kali. We are eternal souls. We are meant to be Krishna conscious. And if we have a disease, it's not that I'm really meant to be diseased. This is really what it's my nature to always be sick. No, our nature is to be healthy and happy. And the reason we're in this problem is because we're diseased. And why we've accepted Guru is because he's our doctor and he's supposed to guide us. And all these senior devotees, they're also like interns and nurses and other types of doctors that are helping us. Now if we decide, I don't want to take any cure, I just want to enjoy the disease, then that's, what can anybody do? But that's the thing that the mind tricks us. We had to really know what the cure is and not surrender to the disease. Maybe that the cure would be not this exactly the same thing we're doing. Maybe there's some changes we had to make. So that's where we need sometime the expert guidance. And then the idea is the guru may say, try this, and then we try it, we're not able to do, then we go back, it's okay, we'll try this. Just like you sometimes you go to the doctor, so we'll try this, and then Or he may give a series of cure. First you go this stage and then that stage. But we shouldn't give up the fight. We shouldn't say, well, now I just don't want to be Krishna conscious. Or that's the worst thing. Yes. What's the difference? No, but if even if even just taking your, I never thought of this before, but even if that were the case, that you were to get devotional service, anyone who gets devotional service, where do they go? At the end of their life, they'll get liberation in the spiritual sky, in the spiritual body anyway. So, that way it doesn't make any difference. But we understand, I mean, some people get liberation also in the Brahmajyoti. Or some people get liberation in different ways. Some may get liberation to the different planet depending on their particular situation. But they get liberated from birth and death. If they get devotional service is liberation. And that will lead one to having a spiritual body also. So that's not a, that wouldn't be a problem. It doesn't specifically mention that, it just says they get liberated. I mean, if they got devotional service, that would be much better than if they got only the Brahmajyoti. So someone who gets devotional service would be especially blessed. There's five types of liberation. There's Sayujya, Salokya, Sarupya, Samipya, and Shashti. So liberation means these five types, and then the supreme liberation is prema. It's beyond liberation. So at least they get one of these five. And how they get there, the details of it, that's up to Krishna. We should worry how to get to Krishna, how to please Krishna and be his pure devotee, and then Krishna will worry about the rest. For him is no problem. For him to take someone out of the material world, no problema. It's all in his hands. Another doubt. Pardon? Envious, yes. Is that in this verse? We should avoid enviousness. We shouldn't, everything can be used in Krishna's service. Anger, greed, be greedy to make so many nice devotees for Krishna. Right? You can be angry if somebody's trying to hurt Krishna's devotees and want to take action on that and protect the devotee or the temple. But envy, meaning to wanting the wishing ill on someone else, let them be brought down so I can be brought up. This is a material thing. Only in the sense, only can it be used if someone is very inimical to Krishna and you want to bring that person down for, out of like defense kind of situation. Is it applicable? Otherwise, in devotional service, to be envious against another devotee is a sure destruction. You want to remain in the material world some more time? This is a good way to just become envious. Why should we be envious? What we will gain by someone else coming down? In material world, everybody is trying to fight for the position. It says like sometime in India you find that they have this, the old system is in the country, people dig a hole and then they go and they pass the morning calls and excrement, everything goes there. And then that hole fills up with stools. So in Mayapur, before we had the bathrooms and we had everything, we made a little bamboo hut and made such an arrangement. And there was a chute and Prabhupada even was using that. And I remember one time I looked, opened the lid and saw that area which was filled with the stools. But you couldn't see the stool because on top of it there was all the white maggots. These white kind of worms. And they are crawling. And you saw that the worms are having like a who can be king of the mountain. It's a mountain of worms. And one is trying to climb on top of the other. And then that pushes one down and one is up for a second on the top. But next moment someone else climb on him, push down, another is on top. So the material world is like that, the worms trying to crawl in the stool and who can be on the top. So for 1 minute someone's on the top, but then again after a second they come down. And you get pushed back in the stool. I'm sorry for the graphic example. But for the devotees, all this type of trying to push oneself up and push someone down, they know this is all the hard struggle of the worms in the stool. And they give up such an endeavor. And if they see that coming in their mind, rather they go to someone and apologize and try to serve that person. Because by serving someone, you can get rid of enviousness. And that's why you'll find even Radharani says that I'm willing to serve even my competitor if that will make Krishna happy. I don't mind. I want to do what will please Krishna. So I want to do the thing which will make Krishna happy. So this is the nature of the spiritual life, is we try to, rather we know that we're not going to get up by pushing somebody down. It doesn't work that way. In the spiritual world, everyone goes up by pleasing Krishna. And who can please Krishna more, they go up faster. Rather, if you can help someone to go up, by you pushing someone else up, Krishna will bring you up. Or that person, you'll automatically. So in here, instead of like in material world, everyone's trying to pull down and get up a little bit. And here, the spiritual, we're trying to push everyone up. If we can help others to go up, we also go up. The guru is trying to bring up his disciples, and the disciples trying to act properly and not to pull down the guru, to contribute some service for the guru. And devotees are trying to help the other devotees. You see, there's no limit of Krishna's mercy, so you don't have to fight for it like that. Rather, the more you can show good qualities of helping other Vaishnavas and serving, the more Krishna will give you the mercy. But in material world, because there's only limited things, so people fight for that, right? Maybe there's one person who's available for marriage, so then everybody's, all eligible people, they're thinking how to get that person, and they become envious of each other and so on. Or because there's limited money, so they're trying to how to get the money, and someone has more money, then they become envious. So like this, so many things there are in the material world that people are going after. Because there's limit and they become envious, but we have to come above that. That in spiritual life, ultimately, we're only going to get what Krishna is going to give to us. And we have to try to do things in the way that Krishna approves of. We shouldn't compromise our principles for something material, because in the end, if we lose Krishna's grace, just like Prabhupada quotes, what is the use of gaining the whole world if you lose your eternal soul? We don't want to, which I think Jesus had said, we don't want to sacrifice our Krishna consciousness for something mundane. Within the realm of Krishna conscious activities, whichever is approved, we should act in that way and avoid being envious. But the mind, sure, we're here because we're envious. That's why we're here. We're ultimately envious of Krishna. Now we had to work around that. That's why we want to serve the Vaishnavas. We want to serve Krishna. We want to serve even every living entity. We don't want to cause any harm anymore to any living entities. And that's why Krishna conscious devotees become very dear to Krishna. When you act in an exemplary way, then Krishna, He becomes pleased with you that this person is so much fallen birth, fallen situation, but they're trying so hard to serve me. So then Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda become mercifully inclined. Prabhupada become merciful. Guru become merciful. So even if we have these tendencies, that's what I discussed yesterday. You can reveal to the deity that I have such a base mind. It is thinking of all these things. I mean, the mind, being born in a Kali Yuga, Yavana or Mlecha birth, I don't know what the Brahman or Brahma Bandhus think minds are like, but I know that the mind, at least the one I've inherited, you know, I am just waiting for it to dissolve away as fast as possible. We are told that by devotional service, the mind, the subtle body will dissolve away. I just can't wait for that to happen. Because this material mind thinks of so many horrible things that we only wanted to think of Krishna. But it comes up with so many stupid thoughts that we had to smash the mind. Even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Om Vishnupad, he said that the mind is so much troublesome that you have to take a pair of shoes and in the morning you smash your mind 100 times with the shoes and tell it to surrender and give up all this envy and false ego and simply surrender at Krishna, lotus feet. And then you take a broom and in the night you smash the mind again 100 times with the broom and just surrender and give up all this nonsense and take the shelter of lotus feet of Krishna. Give up your false ego and your enviousness. This mind is too much. It just goes on. And we had to deal with it. We had to know that unless we deal with the mind, it's going to be our worst enemy. And then we can tame the mind, then it can be somewhat of a friend. But you can't ever trust this friend. You just have to keep it as a very tightly controlled friend. Someone you know is like a Alcoholic Anonymous. You can't let this friend get close to anything that will be detrimental. That kind of a friend, quote unquote, the mind could be. Until the mind totally dissolves and you get a full spiritually Krishna conscious mind, then you have no more problem. You don't have to worry about envy anymore. But so long as we're dealing with this crippled mind that we inherited from the material whirlpool, you had to deal with it by simply bringing it back to the lotus feet of Krishna again and again and again and smashing it. You had to identify with your intelligence and not with the mind. And this is what's difficult for some people in certain kinds of bodies. But we all have that difficulty and we all have to endeavor to do so. And that's our only hope. Hare Krishna. Thank you. So today I'm going on towards Italy. Thank you all for your kindness and association. Hare Krishna.